Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubos Daf Ayin Zayin Mitzvah Shem. We're going to finish off the seventh parak. We're already beginning down, halfway down the Daf, on the second Mishnah on the Daf, which is four lines above the start of the wide lines. The Mishnah begins, the Elu Shekofin Oso Lahotzi. The following situation, if the husband has certain types of mumim, certain types of blemishes, either directly on his body or because of something that he does, such as an occupation that makes him foul smelling, so then the wife is allowed to go and demand a divorce. The Beis Din will force him to go and divorce her, and according to most, he would have to give the ksuba as well in this situation. This is a little bit of a machlokas. The Shita Mekubetzes brings down that Rashi's opinion is that she'd have to get her ksuba, but the Rabbeinu Gershom says no, she wouldn't necessarily be entitled to a ksuba in these situations. That's a much broader, deeper discussion, not for now. So the Mishnah starts, Elu Shekofin Oso Lahotzi, the following people, the woman can demand a divorce. So that is if the husband is mukoshrid, he has certain types of boils on his body, and this is a very foul-smelling and a very uncomfortable situation. The Gemara will discuss it a little bit more, as will the Gemara will discuss many of these things. Rashi keeps on saying over here, Mefarish Gemara, the Gemara will explain all the details of these women. The next one is the Bal Polipos. Certain has certain types of either bad breath or a bad odor coming out of his nose. More will explain this. Hamakamets, a person who gathers in certain things, and it will be referring to gathering in soas klovim. He gathers in the excrement of dogs. That's one explanation of this in the Gemara. Hamitzarif nechoshes, a person who either works with copper or he goes and actually mines the copper. These are foul-smelling professions that can bring about having the person have an odor about them at all times. And likewise, a bursi. A bursi is a tanner. The tanner works either with soas klovim, and that's why he's very foul-smelling, or just the working with these hides and using various chemicals on them leaves a very bad odor on the person as well. If the woman cannot stand this odor, she's allowed to go and ask the Beis Din to help her get a divorce from her husband. Now, all of these occupations and or physical conditions that the person has, these are grounds for divorce for the woman. Bein shahayu ad shelo nisu, whether they were there before they were married and she knew about them, uvein mishenisu nodu, or they only started, he had a previous different job, let's say. Now he has a job as one of these foul-smelling professions. So mishenisu nodu, they only occurred after they were married. In both of these situations, she can go and demand a divorce. Beis Din will assist her in getting a divorce. And Beis Din doesn't have the power to do actual forcing of the man, but can certainly use their strength as a Beis Din to go and encourage and to a certain extent force a get. A get, if it's not given willingly, is not a real get. So when we use the term force a get, it's within the parameters of halacha. Al kulan, and about all of these situations, Amar Rav Meir, Rav Meir said, even though she had said, listen, I know you're a tanner and I love you and I'm happy to go marry you. Nevertheless, once they're married, Yicholi Hishatoma, she can change her mind, so to say, and say, listen, I thought, Svura, you see, I thought Shani Yicholi Lekabel, that I would be able to withstand living with a person who has a bad odor about them. V'achshav Hani Yicholi Lekabel. But now that I see that this is really something that I cannot tolerate, so she's allowed to go and say, I cannot tolerate it, even though she knew about it beforehand. The Chum disagreed. The Chum Momrim Mekabeles Hi Al Karcha. No, if she said, listen, I know that this is what you have, and I'm willing to accept it, so then she has to accept it. Again, the man wishes to divorce her, he's allowed to. If they come to a mutually acceptable agreement, that's not a problem. But she can't go and demand that the man divorce her, because he can say, listen, you knew I was a tanner, you knew I had these certain professions or had these certain conditions that would make it a potential problem, but you accepted it. So, Chacham hold mekabel es yal korcha. If she said yes, then she has to live with it. One exception, chutz mi mukeshrin, except the situation with the boils. Why is that? Because mimnei shememak so, because he can get very sick by having relations with her, and as a result, he could get much worse, and parts of his body will deteriorate so much so because of the relations. Somehow, I'm not sure the pathophysiology of this, but the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us that in this situation, he is allowed to go and divorce her. This is for his benefit, not so much for her benefit. Maisa b'Tzidon, in the city of Tzidon, it's interesting, today we call the city Tzidon. In yesterday's Gemara, we had it was Tzidon. In any event, I think it's the same city, maybe it has two slightly different pronunciations, but Maisa b'Tzidon, in the city of Tzidon, the once was Babursi Echo, the once a certain tanner, Shemais, and he died. And therefore, he had no children, and the wife fell Yibam to his brother, who was also tanner, Voyolo Och Bursi, who was in the same profession. And Amru, Chazal said, Amru Chachamim, Yechola hi shetoma. The woman can say, listen, your brother, who's my husband, I was able to tolerate. L'chicha yisi cholakabel. However, l'cha eini cholakabel. But you, I cannot tolerate it. For whatever the reason, she loved the brother, the one Nebuch, her husband who passed away, and she was able to put up, or willing to be put up, with the fact that he had a foul odor about him because he was a tanner. And she says to her dead husband's brother, listen, you, I don't want to put up with it. You, I don't love. I don't want to put up with it with you. And therefore, she's right to say that, and Beinstein will make sure that he does chalitza and not ibum. Gemara starts off and starts asking, what are some of these conditions that the Mishnah was talking about? I gave us some brief definitions based upon the Gemara. Now we'll see a little bit more inside. My bal polypus. What does this mean over here, this bal polypus? So I'm reviewing the Rishwul. Again, we've had throughout this Masechta many times, reviewed the Rishwul, especially in this parak, which see in a moment has significance for a mnemonic that we're going to do. So Yehuda Mashul says, Reyach HaChotem. This refers to an odor coming out of his nose. The Masnisa Tana, in the Brice, however, we learned that it was Reyach HaPed. This is, again, a very bad odor. Halitosis, very severe bad breath that comes out of his mouth. I thought possibly, I don't know for sure, that the origins of the word polypus maybe comes from the word polyp, that certain types of polyps can occur either in the nose or in the back of the mouth that can sometimes be potential problems with bad breath. Okay. The Gemara says, how do we remember which opinion it was? We had the opinion of Yehuda Mishwul that said that it was Reach HaChotem, and we had the opinion of the Brice that says Reach HaPeh, and Ravasi learned it the exact opposite way. He said, Ravasi Masni Ivcha, he said that Yehuda Mishwul said it was Reach HaPeh, and the Brice says Reach HaChotem. How do you remember this? So, Umanach Basimana, Ravasi gave us a little simon to help us remind this, and that is Shmuel, that I mentioned already, and this is where it's important, that Shmuel was very, very much learning this parak. Lo pasik pume mikule pirkin. He was constantly learning this parak and chazring it. As Rashi points out, tamid haya shagur bepiv. He was so familiar with this parak, it was like familiar in his mouth. So this way Ravasi reminds us that you think of Shmuel, I'm a Yehuda Shmuel, so think of Reach HaPeh, because it's shagur bepiv. This parak was so familiar to him, it was constantly on his mouth, so to say. Then we said in the Mishnah of Amakamates, person who gathers in certain things. So my Amakamates gathering what? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't hear Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, but Rabbi Yehuda tells us, is Amakabes Tsoas Klovim. This is a person who goes and collects the Tsoa of Klovim. Rashi says, why would a person do that? He's not sure. Lo Yadati. Rashi says, I don't know why. Matzorich Ba. However, he brings down, Avo B'Ashkenaz in Germany, Reisi Shishorin Behem HaBegodim Lefnei Kavusan. They would use this somehow as a detergent of some sort to go and clean the garments before they would actually wash them. Yomu Yomayim. So the garments soak somehow in this excrement, and that would somehow clean it in some way. I can't imagine exactly how that works, but they would wash it afterwards to get rid of the Tsoa, and this would somehow clean the garment. So this makamates is for the purpose of going and a person who does this is gathering this tsoas klovim. That's what Yehuda tells us. More questions. It says, basically, wait a second, we learn a brisa, makamates is a bursi, that the one who gathers in this stuff is a bursi. Now, elsewhere it does tell us that the tanners would use tsoas klovim to tan a hide, and in fact it's brought down that it was used sometimes in the making of parchment. So, but here the brisa says that the makamates is a bursi and not just somebody who gathers in tsoas klovim. So the Gemara says, that's a problem, even according to you, even according to you, it says that it means it's a bursi, so then Tishul Masnisin, our Mishnah, seemed to list the Makamates separate from the bursi. How can you say that the Makamates is the bursi? HaMakamates v'Amitzarif v'Nechoshes v'Bursi. So it said that Makamates and bursi are two separate things. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Masnisin Lokasha, the Braisa over here which said that Makamates is a bursi, and the Mishnah which listed Makamates separate from bursi, so it seems to imply that bursi is a separate profession other than Makamates, so that's not a problem. There's no steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Bishlom Masdis and Lokasha, because Kamba Bursi Godol, Kamba Bursi Kot, there are different types of tanneries. So one is a large tannery and one is a smaller tannery. And therefore, you're dealing over here with different types of professions. So fine, no steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. However, Ella, Rav Yehuda, Kasha, according to Rav Yehuda, who says that it just is somebody who's going and collecting the Tsoa, he doesn't hold that it's a tanner, but the Braisa says it's a tanner. How can Yehuda's and Amara seem to go against the Braisa? So Gemara says, no, he has support as well, Tanoihi. There is an opinion that holds exactly like the Amora of Yehuda, and that is the Tanya. We learn the Braisa, Makamets Zebursi. So the first part of this Braisa, so when it talks about Makamets, it is referring to the Bursi. However, the Yeshomim, but then there is nothing to say, it has nothing to do with tanning. It means, and this is Rav Yehuda's opinion, Zem HaMakamates Tsoas Klovim. It means somebody who gathers in the Tsoas Klovim for some other reason, maybe like Rashi brought down, for cleaning purposes, using it as a detergent of some sort. Then we said the Mishnah Mitzarif Nechoshes Abursi. We said somebody who goes and is working with Nechoshes. He's a copper worker. My Mitzarif Nechoshes, what exactly does it mean he's a copper worker? So we have two possible explanations. Rav Ashi Amar Chashle Dude. He's somebody that goes and works with a copper making. He's involved in making the copper. His wife says, Mechashlin Umiradidin Nechoshes. He's involved with working with copper. Va'osimene Yoros Umasriachu. And he makes pots with it, but it's a very foul smelling profession. So this is Chashle Dude, a guy who goes and works with the copper and makes various types of pots. Rabbi Baruchana Amar, no, Zamachatech Nechoshes Meikor. It's a person who goes and mines the copper from the ground itself. And we have a brice in support of what Rabbi Baruchana said. Tani Kavos is Rabbi Baruchana, Ezra Mitzarev. The brice asks, what is this definition of the Mitzarev? Zamachatech Nechoshes Meikor. That's the person who mines the copper from the ground, from where it comes from, Meikoro, from its source. That Gemara tells us, I'm a Rav, Omer Eini Zon Vein Mifaynes, Yotzi Vitein Ksuba. Rav tells us that if a man says, I'm not going to go and give food to my wife, I'm not going to go and support her, so then Beis Din can go and force this person to go and give a Ksuba, because that's part of the Tanai of the Ksuba, that he's going to go and sustain and support his wife. And if he doesn't do so, so Beis Din can say, listen, so then divorce her and pay the Ksuba. However, also Rabbi Elazar Amra l'shmaisa k'mei d'shmuel. So Rabbi Elazar heard the shmaisa name of Rav, and he went over and told it to Shmuel. Shmuel didn't like it, and he said, Amar achsua sare li Elazar. So you're basically acting like an animal over here. It will give you animal food to go and chew on barley, as Rashi says, hechilu saorim k'behema. We'll give you food like an animal, because kol nechal shelo kidarko kori lekosis. This lotion of giving him aksua is a lotion of chewing on something that is not a normal food. So it's like barley. Nobody eats raw barley. In fact, the bracha on raw barley is a shahakol. And all the other types of grains, if you go and eat them as the raw grain, so you make a adoma. But barley is so unusual, so you just make a shahakol on it. So in any event, he said, you're obviously not saying over what Rav said correctly, so you must have misunderstood what Rav said. I think he held Rav in such high regard. He says, no way Rav could have said this statement, so I have to give you the barley food. He says, why would Rav have said, and therefore you must be wrong, Rabbi Elazar, why would Rav have said that we force the man to give a divorce? Just force him to go and support his wife. Why are we encouraging divorce? Well, go and solve the problem. No, what would Rav have said to that? But Rav, he says, Ein adam dar im nochosh b'kfifa. Because if this guy is not interested in feeding his wife, okay, so basically this week forces him to go feed his wife and support his wife, what's going to happen next week? What's going to happen the week later? A man can't live with a snake in the same basket. In other words, this guy is not a good guy, and we want to get this woman out of this horrible marriage, and therefore Rav says, go and get a divorce and get her a ksuba, rather than getting her food, which would be a temporary solution, but won't solve the real problem. Kisolik Rabbi Zera, when Rabbi Zera came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Ashkechel Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes, the Yosef Karmah Lo Mishmei de Rav Yochanan. So he found Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes is saying the same exact thing that Rav said over. He said it over in the name of Rav Yochanan. In other words, Rav Yochanan held just like Rav, that we forced the base and forces the man to give a divorce rather than, like Shmuel had suggested, go and force him to give mazonas to his wife. So Rav Zera tells Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes, it's Amalei, Aldo, on this very statement, Achsua Sarin Li Elazar B'Vavel. Shmuel felt that that was wrong, and he said, go give Elazar barley food, barley animal food, because that's not the correct pshat. No, Rav and Rav Yochanan certainly felt it was the correct pshat. Shmuel disagreed. Our Rav Yudam Ravasi, Ein Ma'asin El Lipsulos. Rav Yudam Ravasi says that the Beis Din will not try to go and force a divorce unless there was something intrinsically wrong with the marriage to start with. It was a posel dikah marriage, that the man had married somebody that it was inappropriate for him to marry. What do we mean by that? So, Kamrisa Kamei de Shmuel, review that said, I said this over in front of Shmuel, right? Rav Yehuda had learned by Rav, then he learned by Shmuel. He also had learned, obviously, with Ravasi. In any event, he says over in front of Shmuel this din, and Shmuel tells him, Amar, Kigon, what are examples of this? Kigon Almano Lekoin Gadol. And Almano is not allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. Or a Grusha and Chalutz Kohen Gedol. A Grusha and a Chalutz aren't allowed to marry a Kohen, a regular Kohen. A Grusha and a Daraisa, a Chalutz and a Rabbanim, because it looks too much like a Grusha. A Mamzeres and a Sina, they're not allowed to marry Yisrael. And Bas Yisrael, the Nosel Mamzer. And likewise, a Yisrael, a Jewish lady, is not allowed to marry a Nosel Mamzer. So all of these are examples of Pesulos. However, If a man marries a woman and have a wonderful marriage, however, but they didn't have children after 10 years, and the man has not been mekayim the mitzvah peruvu, so ain't kofen oso. We don't force such a man to go give a divorce to his wife. And in this situation, that's not one of the things that Basin is ma'asin, that Basin tries to go and create over here a divorce situation, because there are alternatives over here. He could go and marry another woman. So even though he's mechuyev in the mitzvah peruvu, lav dafka with this woman, and he can go marry another woman. That is the opinion that Rabbi Yehuda said over the name of Shmuel, and he reported what Shmuel said. Rav Tachlifa bar Avim Amar Shmuel, however, Rav Tachlifa, the son of Avimi, said over the name of Shmuel that the last case that Rabbi Yehuda had mentioned, which that Basin doesn't force a man who's married for 10 years to go and divorce his wife, he disagreed with that. He said, Shmuel said, Afilu nasa isha v'shoimah asashonim lo yaldo kofen oso. He said, in that situation, Basin does go and force. So this is considered also in the category of the psulos over here, in that they can't stay married. Now, tonight, we've learned in our Mishnah, Elu shekofen oso lahotzi. Our Mishnah listed those people that the Beis Din goes and tries to force the husband to give a divorce to the wife. So this was, we said, the Mishnah, the Mukashlin, the Baal Palifas, etc. However, it didn't include on this list the Shah Eseshanim. So Bishlam Ravasi makes very sense according to the version that Ravasi had said, reviewed it, said over the name of Ravasi, that the Rabbanim Ketani, our Mishnah is only talking about Dinim Dirabbanon, and this Braisa was talking about Daraisa Loktani. So our Mishnah didn't bother to go and repeat all the Dinim Daraisa, all the Psulos. So that's a very good explanation why our Mishnah didn't include what Ravasi had said in the Braisa, Ema'as and Elul Psulos. Okay, very good. Elul Rav Tachlifa Baravimi, who said that it does include a Din Dirabbanon, the Nosu Isha V'Shoyimo Eseshanim Lo Yalda, so why didn't our Mishnah include it? Elul Rav Tachlifa Baravimi, listing Nosu Isha V'Shoyimo Eseshanim Lo Yalda, Kofen Oso, why didn't it list that? That would be amongst the Dinim Dirabbanon. So Amar Rav Nachman, Lokash, it's not a problem. Habimile, Habishote, because he says the difference is, in regards to a woman who never couldn't have children with her husband after 10 years, there we say, Bimile, we request that the husband go and give a divorce to his wife. We encourage him to go and give a divorce to his wife in that situation, just with words, ha bimili. As opposed to, in our Mishnah, in all those situations, a woman finds it intolerable to go and live with her husband, ha bishote. Tosfos Reed explains, you can find this on Ayin Zayin with Beis all the way towards the bottom, and he says that you take out a whip and you give lashes, menatin le bishote. So you're allowed to go and physically force the husband even to go and say, rotsani, that he wants to go and give such a divorce. So that is what Rav Nachman explains, not a stira, why our Mishnah doesn't include the listing of the woman who couldn't have children after 10 years with her husband, because we wouldn't force with a whip, as opposed to the things in the Mishnah, which we would force with a whip. So as Rashi points out over here, hani in, on those things in the Mishnah, we do force with a whip, we give lashes, a period of a rivulo, but to force the person to be mekayim the mitzvah peruvu, so we don't do that, because technically he could go be mekayim with another woman. So he could have a second wife. Masla Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba says that's not right. Bidvarim lo yivoser oved. So what does this mean? So this is a pasuk from Mishlei, which tells us that words don't work sometimes. Sometimes with an eved, you have to go and use physical force in order to get him to do what you want. So in this situation as well, the words aren't going to work. It's a brach levatol, it's a waste of time. And therefore, Basin has to take out the threat of giving lashes as well. So why isn't it listed? The question returns, if the woman who lives with the husband for 10 years and the husband doesn't divorce her, we would take out lashes and go and give lashes to the husband too if he doesn't want to divorce his wife in that situation. So then it should be included in the Mishnah. So therefore, Elo Amar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, Ha v'ha b'shoti, both of them, in both situations, we would actually give lashes. So we turn to the Amud Bey. However, in this situation, Hasam ki Amra havina v'hadei shavkina la. Because in the cases of our Mishnah, if the woman says, listen, I'll put up with it, I'm willing to stay, even though you have the right to force him to divorce me, I'm willing to stay, so then we let her stay, not a problem. But here, even if the husband says, listen, I'm willing to let her stay on as my wife, even though we haven't had children after 10 years, lo shav kinun lo, we don't allow this. So that's the difference between, we're stricter with the woman who he hasn't been able to have children with after 10 years, and that we force him to go and divorce her to go and get married to somebody else. And why not just let him get married to somebody else? Because a lot of people won't want to have a second wife, and therefore another wife coming into the picture says, listen, I don't want to go and join in your marriage that you already have a happy marriage for 10 years, and just because you can't have children, I'm going to always be the second fiddle. I'm only going to be the wife that you got to have a child with and not the real love of your life. And therefore, that would be a deterrent to getting married, and therefore not to be mekayem the mitzvah peruvu. So therefore, Basin can go and try to force him. Lamaisa, we don't do this. The Maisa nowadays, it's brought down halacha. We don't even encourage the husband to do this, and we're not kofin in this situation. Rechmanu l'slan, a man can have children after 10 years, so we allow them to stay married, and we don't do anything about it. The Gemara continues and says, "Vare muko shchin the avol gav the omer havina ba'day lo shav kina lo." Wait a second. But we learned in our Mishnah that if the man has these boils, he's a mukosh shchin. So even though she says, I'm willing to stay with him, so we don't allow this. So here's another situation where we don't allow it. Because d'tnan, we learned in our Mishnah that chutz mi mukosh shchin, that we force the divorce in the case of mukosh shchin, because it's going to hurt the husband. It's going to cause him to lose parts of his guf. It's going to deteriorate further. The having relations with a woman somehow makes this disease get worse. So Gemara says, Uktani, yet it is listed in our Mishnah. So how come our Mishnah doesn't list the case of the Shah Imo, Esh Shanim? It seems to be the case as Mukushin that we don't allow them to stay together no matter what. Gemara says, no, there still is a difference between them. Hasam, in the case of the Mukushin, we would allow them to stay together if they guarantee that they won't have Tashmish. How will they do that? So she says, Ki Amra, Doyarna Bahade Besade. I will stay married with him. We will live together in the same house, but we won't be alone together. We'll always have other people around, so we can't ever be alone together, and I won't have relations with him. And therefore, he won't be hurt. The mukushlim won't somehow be worsened by our having relations, but we can stay married as husband and wife. We can enjoy the companionship. We can enjoy the fact that we have somebody to talk with, etc., even though we won't have relations. So, Shavkinala, in this situation, the Beis Din will let her do so. However, Hocha, in the situation of the Shah Soimo Esishonim, even though she says, Hocha Avogav the Omra, they are not Bade Besade, we'll stay together, but we won't have relations, we'll always have somebody else there, so this way we can go marry another woman, Lo Shav Kinala. That they won't allow, because just her being there is going to prevent possibly a second wife from coming into the play. And therefore, they won't allow this, even if there's a guarantee that they won't live together, the second wife doesn't have to be threatened that there's another wife involved in terms of relations. Tanya, we learn the following brayso. So I'm Ravasi. Ravasi said, "Sochli zokin echad miyanshu Yerushalayim." There was a certain old man from Yerushalayim. Often we say zokin echad means Eliyahu Navi. And anyway, it doesn't say that over here. Tosfos often says that, and he told me esrim v'yabo amuke shchin. There are 24 different types of this shchin, this certain type of skin disease, these boils. And for all of them, somehow Tashmish worsens the situation. Again, you can come up with all sorts of theories as to how this should possibly be, but I don't know the exact pathophysiology. In any event, the fact that he's having Tashmish somehow is going to worsen his condition, and therefore, Beis Din will say, listen, you have to go give this woman a divorce because it's dangerous for you to go and have Tashmish. However, the man told him, Zokin Echa told him, Ubali Rasun Koshim Ikulan, if you have relations with a wife and you have this disease known as Rason, which we'll see in a moment, is a certain type of parasitic disease in the brain, certain type of insect that grows in the brain, so then it is worse to have relations than even all the 24 different types of Tashmish. Now the Gemara says, where does this disease Rason come from? Mimai Habe. How do you go get Rason? And now, the rest of this Gemara over here is going to talk about modern principles of infection transmission. And this was only subsequently discovered much later by scientists in the middle 1800s, the advances of Semmelweis and others in terms of how disease is transmitted. Our Gemara over here is a perfect example of Hafoch Bav Hafoch Bav Kulaba that the Torah knew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously created the world and knows how disease is transmitted, and Chazal will give him over this information because we'll have many ideas over here in the Gemara that were only relatively recently, in the last 100 or 200 years, known to medicine. In any event, they ask, how do you get this condition known as Rason? Incidentally, we find this mention of Rason by Rashi in Chumash, where it talks about Nigoim Gedolim that were given to Paro, Aldvar Sarai, Eishes Avram. And the Marshal brings down that this is Rason, this Nigoim Gedolim is this illness known as Rason. And it's Rason, and it's based upon Yerushalmi over here. In any event, the Tanya. So the Gemara tells us the following brisa: Heikiz dam vishimesh. If a person had a phlebotomy. They used to do regular phlebotomies for health purposes. They felt that it was beneficial to help to go and withdraw blood on a regular basis. And right after you had the phlebotomy, if you had relations, so havyon lo bonim visokin, you're going to have children that are going to be very, very weak. Rashi explains visokin is chaloshim. You're going to have weak children. Their constitution will be weak because you had relations right after having had the phlebotomy, the bloodletting. But if not only you had had a bloodletting, but if your wife also had a bloodletting, and then you had relations and she became pregnant, so the child that's born from that type of a background, and that somehow leads to the child being susceptible to this parasitic illness known as rason. Again, I don't know the pathophysiology, how this works, but now we're going to talk a little bit more about the way diseases are transmitted. That's only true that this rason can occur if both the husband and wife had relations right after they had a bloodletting if they didn't eat after the bloodletting. However, if they did eat something afterwards, less lumbar, then somehow the detrimental effects of the relations right after the bloodletting aren't going to impact the child. So number one, we see over here that what the parents do can have a tremendous impact upon the child. Now, what are the simanim of this disease, rason? My simani. Tell me a little bit about this illness. So dolfon ene, his eyes are going to be tearing, the dayove nechire, and his nose is going to be running, and ba'aisle rira mipume, he's going to have a lot of rira, a lot of saliva coming out of his mouth, he's going to be drooling, urumu didve ilove, and you're going to see a lot of didve of flies that are flying around him. And this is how this disease is answered. This is a vector of flies. Like, for example, we have malaria and other illnesses like that. They're transmitted from the human being to certain insects, like mosquitoes, and then can be transmitted to other people. We have this with many illnesses. These are known as vector, arthropod vector illnesses, and they can be transmitted via these animal or insect vector in between from human to human. Gemara says, "Umaya suse, what is the cure?" And again, we mentioned many times, we don't look to the Gemara for medical cures. This was their medical opinion in those days, and not halacha Moshe B'Sinai. But again, this was a herbal therapy that Abaye tells people to take. Abaye pila v'lodona. Rashi tells us that these are various types of asovim, various types of growths. So you go and take them, and girda de goza, you go take some of the wood from a tree. Rashi explains klipe eitz egos. You take the bark, the wood of eitz egos of a walnut tree. And the girdo, the ashpa, Rashi says, this is masha gurman, or you go and scrape off the hide, and some of the stuff that comes off when you're scraping the hide. Uklil malka, Rashi says, this is a chavatzeles, this is a lily. And you finally go and add to it, umischala de dikla sumka. Rashi explains, this is shomer, this is the part around the tree, sheyesh lehem letmarim, around a palm tree, bekatnusim, when it's a young palm tree, kein sheyesh legozim ketanim, just like similar to the egozim ketanim, so too, you take some of this shell of the young dates, and you go and mix this all together, v'sholklu b'hadiyadadi, and you go and cook it together, you boil it together, all of these ingredients, ma'alele base of the sheyesh, and then you go bring this person into a house of marble. So Gemara elsewhere tells us that this type of a house, the wind doesn't sholate there. You don't have any sort of potential infection there. It's a very clean place. Be low ecobasization. If you don't have such a house, take a very thick walled house so that the outside impact can't get into the inside of this house. The shav livnei aricha, a house that the walls are as thick as 7 bricks and a half of a brick. So this is a very, very, very thick wall. Each one of these full bricks is 3 tvachim long, and the half a brick would be 1.5 tvachim long. So you have a total over here of 7 times 3, which is 21, and then an additional 1.5, so it's 22.5 tvachim. The thickness of this wall, very, very, very thick wall. The natalei tlos mei akasi areshe, and then you take this concoction and you pour it on this person 300 times. Again, 300 is a lashon of guzma. We've had this numerous times. It means a lot. You pour it on it a lot, labdavka 300 times, until what you've done is adurafia arise demoche, until you pour it on his head and it softens up his skull. And then they're able to do surgery over here. Listen to this. You then do a surgical procedure, but you open up the skull of this person. Today, we do this all the time. what we call a craniotomy, and this is done as a relatively simple neurosurgical procedure that you sometimes do to relieve pressure on the brain, and you open up the skull, you don't go into the brain. And we have historical records of people that you clearly see, they did not die after this procedure, because you can see in their skulls when they died 20, 30 years later, so you can see the bone formation having grown around, but you can clearly see that they had a craniotomy. So we have anthropological evidence that these types of surgical procedures were actually done and the patient survived. Now, I don't know if it was done for this specific condition, but we do have true evidence that these procedures were done 2,000 years ago. In any event, you open up the skull, and then you'll see this parasite inside there that's on top of the brain. What do? You want to remove it, but if you just pull it out, it's going to stick its feet, its claws, its tentacles, whatever it has over there, its feet, into the brain, and it would destroy the brain. So, umaise arba tarfe diasa, so you go bring four myrtle leaves, and you very carefully put a myrtle leaf under each leg, one at a time, and this won't get the insect over here, this parasite, all upset, and you can therefore not have it no longer standing on top of the brain, but it's standing like a coaster on top of these leaves. So madli kol chad kara umosiv chad. You lift up each leg and you put the leaf underneath it, and you let the leg sit down and now rest on top of the leaf on top of the brain, and then you do this with each of the other legs, so you have this on the all four legs. V'shakul b'tzivsa, and then once it's no longer directly on top of the brain, you can take a pair of tongs and go and remove it. And then you better go and burn this, because if you don't go and burn it, d'lo hadar ilove, it will return to this person. So again, this was a certain parasitic infestation that this person had. It's possible this is what Titus Arasha had, because we know that the certain parasite that was in his head that was driving him crazy. It made so much noise inside his head that he was literally going crazy until he heard a Jewish person banging on a anvil, and that made the pain stop. And therefore, he always had either a Jewish person or a non-Jewish person banging on an anvil in front of him. He would pay the non-Jewish person, but he said to the Jew, you're not getting paid for this. Your payment is that you get to see me suffering in this way. Okay, now the Gemara tells us some basic principles of infection control. Machuz of Yochanan, Rav Yochanan would say, Hizaru mizuvei shel bali rasin. Better stay away from these flies that are around the bali rasin, because they will transmit this disease. This is an arthropod-born vector. This is how malaria is transmitted, other illnesses are transmitted, via this arthropod vector. So stay away from those flies. Furthermore, Rav Zeira, Laviosa Bezika, Rav Zeira wouldn't be downwind from someone who had this, because he was concerned that the transmission would occur from that person to him, either via airborne transmission through the air itself, or maybe the flies would tend to go downwind, they would follow the wind. Rabbi Elazar lo ayabale. Rabbi Elazar wouldn't even go into their houses. Again, he was concerned possibly about airborne transmission, aerosolization, maybe of the virus or whatever illness was present, and he wouldn't go into the houses of such people. This would be a quarantine, an isolation type of a situation. Ravami Ravasi lo beachle mi bei dahayim avoa. They wouldn't eat the eggs that came from that neighborhood. They were concerned about transmission that would be transmitted from the person, let's say, to food, and the people that would prepare the food could easily transmit it. This would be a foodborne vector of illness. So again, these are very standard ways that we understand today how illness can be transmitted. However, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he was the exception to the rule. He wasn't concerned at all with this. Michrach behu, he would be close to them. He would, so to say, wrap himself around these people. He would become very close to them, the Asik Torah, and he learned Torah with them. And he said, Omar, there's a pasuk in Mishlei which says, Omar, Ayeles Ahavim, this beloved Ayeles, the Yala Shrein, it gives forth so much Shrein, so that's an idea that the Torah, Im Chain Mala Alamdea, if one who learns Torah gets Shrein, so certainly Agune Lomagda, won't it protect him from getting these diseases? So Rav Shimon Levi is in such a high madrega that he said, I'm Lomala Minateva, I don't have to be concerned. The regular person wouldn't be allowed to do this, because this is going above the normal. So you don't have the right to go put yourself at risk in something that is certainly going to potentially cause you physical illness. However, Rav Shimon Levi felt he was above the Lomala Minateva, and therefore he could go and rely upon the protection that the Torah gives us. Now, he would be with them. He didn't learn Torah with them 24-7 while he was with them. So the Mefarshim bring down This I saw in the Shita Mukbetz, it's brought down the name of the Ritva. So even when he wasn't with them, the Torah would be Megan. A mitzvah is only Megan while you're actually doing it. But the Torah is Megan, even when you're not doing it, it will still protect you. And he bases this upon the idea of Ner Mitzvah Torah Or. The light of a mitzvah is only like a Ner, whereas the Torah is like an Or, like a torch. So it's more powerful. So the Torah could protect you even when you're not learning Torah with them. The Mishnah Yosef was also adding over here that Rav Shulman Levi was Solo Malam and Ateva, so he was certain that nothing could happen to him over here. And that's why, as we'll see for the rest of the story, he was able to be going into Gan Eden while he was still alive. He was on such a high madrega that his physical body, so to say, no longer was connected to his neshama in a tangible way that illness could cause him any harm. Unbelievably great. Now, so Rav Yeshua Levi would go and learn Torah with these Bali Rasa. Gemara tells us, Kiavi Shachiv, when it was the end of his scheduled years on this world, Rav Yeshua Levi was to be taken up to Shemayim by the Malach HaMavis, so Amru Leila Malach HaMavis, so the Beis Din in Shemayim told the Malach HaMavis, Zil Ovid Le Reuse, go and do for this man whatever he would like. Before you go and take him, so go and do for him what he would ask you to do. So also, so the Malach HaMavis went, and in Schazilei, he makes himself known to Rav Yeshua Levi, and he tells him, what would you like me to do? So Rav Yeshua Levi told him, Achvi Li Duch Soy, before you kill me, go and show me my place in Gan Eden, where I'm going to be. Amalei, okay, l'chai, sure, I will be very happy to do that. So the Malach HaMavis takes him up to Gan Eden, and Amalei, Rav Shulman Levi says to him, listen, but don't carry your sword around with me. Havli sakinoch, go and give me your knife, your sword via which you normally kill people, and this way, because duma mevasli biyorcha, because I'm terrified that you're going to kill me along the way, so I don't want you to be able to kill me, so give me your sword, give me your knife, and I'll hold on to it. Okay, so the Malach HaMavis says, yeah, I was told to Shemayim to do what he asked, so you have an ili. So he gives his knife to Rav Shulman Levi. Then he brings him to Gan Eden, kimot lohosom, he gets up to Gan Eden, and Daila called Machvile, he has to lift up Rav Shulman Levi above, apparently there's a wall around the Gan Eden, and he lifts him up in order to show him where he's going to be in Gan Eden. So, what does Rav Shulman Levi do? Shvar, he jumps. Rashi says, Shvar means a lashon of kofatz, and he stays inside. Lahau Gisa, he's on the other side of the wall. He's in Gan Eden alive. Nakte b'kain of the glimei. The Satan, the Malach HaMavis over here, is not happy. He grabs onto his garment. And Rav Shulman Levi says, I ain't leaving here. Amale b'shuasa, I make a shua, the lowest sinner, that I'm not leaving here. I'm staying in Gan Eden. I'm going into Gan Eden alive. Right? There's a number of great people that went straight up to Shemayim. Eliyahu Novi, Serach ben Osher, many others that are listed, that went straight up to Shemayim. So Rav Shulman Levi says, I'm going straight up into Shemayim as well. I'm not going to let you kill me. Now, what's the Malach HaMavis going to do? So Amal Kosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Malach HaMavis, go and find out. E ishal Ashruasa, if he ever asked a Shayla on a Shrua that he made, in other words, if he ever was a Matir Neder, so then Neader. So then make him be Matir Neder over here, and we'll take him back out of Gan Eden alive, and bring him back to this world, and you'll kill him, and then he'll go up to Gan Eden. However, Elo, if he never did Hataras Nedarim, in other words, he always was 100% accurate. If he said something, he did it, and he never had to retract it, so then, Lo Neder. So we're not going to make him retract it now. He said, Ashur, I'm not leaving here, so we're not going to go be Matir's Neder, and we're going to let him stay up in Gan Eden alive. So, as it turned out, of course, Rav Shulman Levi had never done Hataras Nedarim. He was a very, very straight, honest person. If he said something, he did it. He didn't go and look to retract it. So therefore, Rav Shulman Levi was allowed to stay in Gan Eden alive. Amalei, so the Malach HaMavis says, okay, at least give me back my sword. Havli sakinoi, give me back my sack and my knife so I can go back doing my job. So Rav Shulman Levi said, no, I don't want to. This way you won't kill anybody. Lo avikoyavlei. Rav Shulman Levi said, no, I'm keeping your knife up here. So now you're going to not be able to do your job. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, that's not right. Nafka bas kola, a voice rings out from Shemayim, the Amalei, and says to Rav Shulman Levi, hab niele, go give him back the knife, because the mizbah livri also, because he needs it to do his job. He has to go and take people. When their time is up, he has to go and take such people away, and therefore, give him back the sword. The Marashah explains that he gave him back the sword now, because as soon as he heard that he needed it for other people, so fine. He was afraid that if he gave back the sword to the Malach HaMavis, he would go kill him right there on the spot. So once he heard that the Malach HaMavis needed it for other people, so then he gave him back the sword. So now, Rav Shulman Levi is up in Shemayim, and Machrez Eliyahu Kamei, so Eliyahu Novi goes and announces to everybody in Shemayim, Panu Mokal Bar Levoi, make way, Rav Shulman Levi is here, the son of Levoi is over here. We'll see in a moment a couple of things, but for right now we'll point out that it says twice. Why is this double lashon? The Marashah asks, why is it said over here twice? So that's to teach us that he was zocher, so to say, to two places in Shemayim. One was his regular chelik as a tzaddik, but then he was also zocher to the chelik that the Rishayim had given up. He was such a great tzaddik that he was yori, so to say, the chalokim of the Rishayim that was now open for him to go and take. Then your other says one was for his neshama and one was for his guf, the two places, so to say, because he came in alive. And the other also says, why was he called the Bar Levoy? Why not call him Yeshua? Because his father, Levi, was such a great tzaddik that everybody knew about him in Gan Eden, so to say, so it was a big cover for him to be known as, oh, this is the son of that great tzaddik. Okay, so Eliyahu says, make way for him. So Ozel Ashchil Rishim V'Yochai. So he goes and meets up with Rishim V'Yochai. This is the great Rishim V'Yochai, was in the Ma'ariv for the 12 years, then the next year, the author of the Zohar. So he meets up with the great Rishim V'Yochai. The Havi Yosef Al-Tlas Asar, he was sitting on 13 Tachtike Pizah. Rashi says Tachtike Pizah is a certain type of a chair. Okay, so some of the Mepharshim bring down that it was a folding chair. The Ben Yonah says the significance of 13 is it means Ahava. That's the highest way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be Ahava. And the Gematria of Ahava is 13. So Rishu B'Choy asks Rishu B'Levi, Amalei, Atu Bar Levoy, are you the son of Levi? Amalei Hen, yes, I am. Niras HaKeshes B'Yamecha, he asked him, Rishu B'Choy said, did you ever see a rainbow in your lifetime? If a person sees a rainbow in his lifetime, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the world. I remember that I'm not going to destroy the world, and he brings the rainbow out. So if there is a great tzaddik in the world, Hashem will never want to destroy the world. In the schus of this great tzaddik, the world will be, so to say, supported, and he doesn't have to bring the rainbow. So if there is no rainbow in his lifetime, so then he's a great tzaddik. But if there's a rainbow in his lifetime, he's not such a great tzaddik. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai said, did you ever see a rainbow in your lifetime? So Rabbi Shimon Levi answered, yes, Amalei Hein. So then Rabbi Shimon Yochai said, then you can't be Imkain, Iyata Barley Void. Then you aren't the great Rabbi Shimon Levi, because there's no way that there will be a rainbow in his lifetime. No. There was no rainbow in his lifetime. The Gemara says, "Lohi, lo havi midi." There never was a rainbow in his lifetime. Elasava lo achzik tivusa lenafshoy. He didn't want to brag about himself and say, "No, there was no rainbows in my lifetime." So he gave a white lie. So some bring down that you see from here that a person is allowed to go. Somebody says, "Oh, you know all shas, right? You know, kol haTorah kula." So a person will say, "No, I don't." So you're allowed to respond in that way as a sign of humbleness. So you're allowed to go and say what would be otherwise a white lie. The Ben Yada, Kedarko HaKodesh, so he says that there actually was a rainbow when he was a young child. So therefore, he wasn't lying. There was a rainbow there during his lifetime, but it had nothing to do with him. He was a young child at that point in time. He couldn't be Megan on the world. It's only when he became a Gadol that he could be Megan on the world. Very interesting, Ben Yada. Mark continues and tells us a similar story with Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Shushbine Hava. He was a very close friend, so to say, with the Malach HaMavis. Again, there are certain Gedolim that had Gilui Elio. They were able to be Zochet to speak with various Malachim. And Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa was one such great person. And Kiyava Konaicha Navshe, when it was time for him to die, so the same situation that occurred with Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi occurred with him as well. Amule Lamalach HaMavis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Malach HaMavis, Zil Avid Le Ruse. Go and do with him what he would like before you go and take his life. So Azur Rabbe, so the Malach HaMavis goes to Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Vizchazile and appears before him and he tells him, what would you like? So Amalei, so Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa tells him, give me 30 more days. Shivki Tlosin Yom, give me 30 more days. Adineda Tamidoi, so I can go over all my learning. They're a great Amorim that will go over the learning every 30 days. So Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa wanted one last time to go over all of his Torah because it says the Amre, the popular maxim is Ashri Misha Bolikan, praiseworthy somebody who comes to the Olam HaEmes with all of his learning. In other words, he chazers. It's very important. That's the only negative, if you wish, about the Daf Yomi that I've ever found, and that is we sometimes don't chazer as much as we should. So I point out that we're going ahead in a number of these days. We're going to learn extra. So we don't have the shiurim on the Yomim Tovim, obviously. I won't be able to dictate. You won't be able to listen. But it doesn't mean that you can't chazer them and learn them again on your own on Yontif. So that's an opportunity here for us to make up for the one lack in the Daf Yomi is a lack of chazor. Again, many people do chazer the Daf Yomi many times, but we can always chazer it more. So he wanted to chazer all of his learning in the 30 days prior to his death. So that's what he asked the Malach HaMavis to wait. And Shavki, so the Malach HaMavis said, fine. And he left it for 30 days. New after the 30 days, Labosa Tlosin Yomin, Ozel is chazilis. New, the Malach HaMavis comes, new, time is up. And he tells them, I want to take you now. So he says, no, first, Amalei, Achvei li duchtoi, show me my place in the Olam Emes. Show me my place in Gan Eden, just like you did for Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. So Amalei, okay, l'chayai. He said, okay, fine, I will do that. Amalei, Rabbi Chanina Baba says to him, nu, hav mi sakinach, give me your knife, give me your means of which you go and kill people. Because Dilma, v'vasis li b'yorcho, because I'm scared that you're going to jump me on the road, so to say, and I'll be, and you'll take me then. So Amalei, you want to do what Yeshua ben Levi did to me? No, I ain't giving you my knife. So Amalei, Rechim Rapport said to him, I see Sefer Torah v'chazi mi'iko midi d'chsiv bei d'lo kiyamte. Wait a second, why aren't you treating me the same way as you did Yeshua ben Levi? Go and bring out a Sefer Torah and see if there's anything there that I didn't do. So if there's something there that I didn't do, so I also should be allowed to go into Gan Eden alive. So give me your knife and let me go in there alive. So Amalei, so the Malach Moses said to Rechinim Papa, sorry, mi ikaris bivali riason viaskis b'torah. Did you go and bind yourself to all those people that had rasan, that sickness, that highly contagious sickness, and learn Torah with them? If you didn't do that, so then you're still with the teva. He was lamalim in that teva, but you're still with the teva, and you're potentially concerned about getting sick on this world, and that's why you have to take the appropriate precautions, so then you can't go straight into Gan Eden alive. No, Vavilu Hachi, nevertheless, while Chavinina Papa didn't go into Gan Eden alive, nevertheless, he was obviously an unbelievably great person. Kinoch Nafshe, when the Malach Moses did take him and he died, obstacle Amuda Denura, there was a pillar of fire that separated him, Bein Didei Lioma, between him and everybody else, and nobody could get near him. And we have a tradition, Hukabire, we have a Kabbalah, the Lo Mafsik Amuda Denura, we have a tradition that says that there isn't this pillar of fire that comes down and separates the person who is Niftar from the rest of the world, except for one person or maybe two people in a generation. If there's more than two people, so then there are other people as great as them. So therefore, there wouldn't be this fire needed to separate them from the other people. But if they're so unique, there's only one or possibly two of them in the world, so then you need a fire to separate them from the rest of the world. No. Carved Legabe Rabbi Alexandri. No, they had to bury him, but nobody could get close to him. So Rabbi Alexandri went to the fire, which was in front of Rabbi Chanin Rapapa, and he said to Rabbi Chanin Rapapa, "Nu, oh my, I say Bishul Kvod Chachamim. Nu, let us bury you. For all the Chachamim that are here, I'll cover it to them. Let us bury you. So have the fire go away." Lo Ashkach, he said, no, the fire didn't go away. I'm not sure why not, but the fire didn't go away. For the cover of Chacham. No, I say Bishul Kod Avicha. Do it for the cover of your father's house. Nevertheless, Lo Ashkach, the fire didn't go away. I say Bishul Kod Atzucha. But when Rav Alexandri told him, no, for your own cover, you can't be lolul lameis, you can't just lie out here not bury. So then, Yistalik, so the fire went away, and they were to go and bury him. By the way, Abaye said, Amar Abaye, Lafuke Minan Delokim, and we have the Gir Safilo Os Achas, albeit, it's in parentheses here, and the Masorah Sashah says that the Mashal was mochek this. So we'll not learn it as well. Le'afuke miman delokim. The purpose of this fire, Abaye said, was to separate him from people that didn't fulfill the Torah to the same level that he fulfilled the Torah. So certain Tamidei Chachamim should be able to go. But Amalei Ravada Ramasna to Abaye, you think you have the right to go there? La'afuke mimar. It bedavka is there to separate you. You're a great, great, great person, but it separates you from him because the lo isle maka liigre, because you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of putting up a maka around a high area around your roof, and therefore you don't have the right to go and be with him. That's why the fire separates from you. But obviously, Abaye would not fulfill this din. The lo, it was a mistake. Me have a hava. Of course, Abaye had a maka up there, no doubt about it. However, at that very moment, vayishaita, a wind came. Havishaita, who dishadja zika, a certain wind came and blew it down. So Rav Ada said, well, you don't have a maka, that's why there needs to be a fire over here, even though it's not your fault. You're onus rachmana patri, you're totally not at fault over here. But in this situation, you're held accountable in some way anyway. That's why there needs to be a pillar to separate you from Rechinina bar Papa. Finally, we conclude this beautiful shir, this beautiful daf, this beautiful perek with the words of Amri Rechanina. Rechanina says, "Mibnei ma ein bali rasan bavavo." Why aren't people in Bavo getting this illness of rasan? Why? Mibnei sheochlin tardin, because they eat these tardin of beets. Bishos and shechon, they drink beer shel hizmi, that's made up of hizmi. Rashi says that hizmi is shematilim bo kishus shegodah bo hizmi. They're throwing these hops that are growing around certain types of brush. This hizmi is a certain type of brush that grows, and it has these hops that grow there. Fine. Similarly, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he says, how come their people don't get tzaras in Bavel? Again, because they eat these beets, and they drink beer. He doesn't mention this beer, shel hizmi. But he adds another thing, they go and they wash themselves, they bathe in the waters of the Pras, the Euphrates, and that somehow protects them from getting tzaras. Again, beautiful, beautiful end to this perek. Hadron lecha amadir, hadron lecha amadir, hadron lecha amadir. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we start the eighth perek in Kesubos. With this, we conclude today's shir.